The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
We are going to continue in our study through Ephesians this morning. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. I alluded when we kicked off the service that Josh Peterson walked us through the first six verses last week. If you didn't have the opportunity to listen to that, you can go back and do so online. I think it would be a great encouragement to your heart, and I am confident at some point you will laugh or scratch your head, but it will be an encouragement nonetheless. And we're going to keep moving with the Apostle Paul through his encouragement to the church in Ephesus. And as we do, we're going to there's a lot where we'll be this morning. There's a lot in the text, but we're going to hear something about the nature of the unity of the body, the nature of the leadership given to the body, and the nature of how the body interacts with one another. And the body is this imagery. It's this picture that Jesus gives to the church, and that Paul uses the language of himself, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and then all the body has been gifted in unity together through the Spirit to kind of work together to grow up into Christ, the head. And so you start to see that imagery play out in Ephesians chapter 4, and the leadership within the church is given to actually support that and foster that along and equip that so that it continues to happen, so that every believer gifted by God in the Spirit, working together, bound together in Christ Jesus, belonging to one another, is building each other up in love to the full maturity of who we are in Christ Jesus. That's the imagery of Ephesians chapter 4. Now, before we jump into that text, I just want to acknowledge some of the leadership pieces of Summit, and particularly Summit Cherrydale, just so you can see something I think that is powerful and encouraging in this room, even in our time together this morning. And also because I don't want you to leave this morning thinking about us. I want you to leave this morning thinking about him. So we're going to do this on the front end. Summit Church is led by elders. And so there are six elders currently and a desire to add more elders in the very near future, and actually some intentional steps being taken toward that process. I am one of those elders. Kip Kelly is one of those elders. Kip is the beautiful bald man in the back who you can't see against that backdrop, but you may have seen coming in, among six others who are Shane McKenzie, Remington Brooks, Terry Carlton, and Josh Keels, and a desire to continue to add a few more even in the coming months and years. And so that will continue to increase. And then we also have staff. We have a full-time staff at each of our congregations. And then we have part-time staff that leads us in worship, that directs and runs our kids ministry and our student ministry. And some of those pieces are very part-time, and they give a lot of time and energy to support the ministry here. We have deacons who are people who lead us in service. They model the selflessness of Christ, and they lead in caring for the body through service. We have that at every congregation. Here at Summit Cherrydale, we have Paul and Melissa Jones. They're not here this morning, I don't think, in this service. We have Amanda McDonald, Andrew and Elizabeth Weaver. Our newest deacon is here. That's Lisa Adams. Lisa, could you just go ahead and stand up? I will single you out for just a second. This is Lisa Adams. Stay standing for just a minute. If you're here and you are on staff with us, so Carissa and Jen, who are also, my wife's out there, I believe, serving, but Jen and Carissa, would you also stand with us this morning? Part of our staff team, our part-time staff team. If you are a volunteer, actually, let's hold up. If you're a life group leader at Summit Cherrydale, like if you help lead a life group, would you stand up currently? Go for it. Go for it. Lead a life group in any way, shape, or form. Nice. If you serve in our kids ministry in any capacity, would you stand up for just a second? If you've helped serve in our kids ministry, a lot of them are back there. Yeah. Slowly but surely, you guys are standing up like you're terrified. I'm not going to call you out, I promise. This is it. This is all you have to do is stand there and be quiet. It's great. If you serve in our student ministry, would you stand up? If you've helped with our students around Summit Cherrydale? How about a hospitality? Like you say hi to people and you're actually nice. Like you hang out at the front. The rest of us are just praying to get through the morning. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Here's what I just, for a second, want you to see. There are tons of people here, this service and the next, and in those rooms, and who aren't here this morning, who are serving together toward a common unity to see us together growing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, working with one another, building each other up in love, and trying to see that by God's grace, we would be a people unified in Christ, living intentionally for his sake as we go throughout wherever God has put us in this world. And so I hope you see two things. One, a team of people who actually greatly love you and desire to serve you toward that end, practically. And two, this is a place where our expectation is in every capacity. If you're here, you can jump in. You can jump in and serve with hospitality and worship and Summit Kids and student ministry and small groups. And we want you connected because it's the beauty of the body working together, each one doing their part, that actually builds the body up in love in Christ Jesus. And so we're not going to tell you what to do, but our expectation is you have a role to play. And some of that is being here on Sunday, but I think it goes way beyond that. And we just want you to continue to be attentive to what the Spirit of God is doing in you and then lead in that, walk in that, take steps toward that, engage in that. If you're a guest, again, continue to say this, hang out, check out with us and see what God's doing. But if you're here and you're regularly here, ask the Lord, how would you have me participate in the life of the body in such an active way that reflects who I am in Christ and builds the body up, and then move toward that and know that we want to help you succeed in that and grow in that and enjoy that. That would be our goal. Can you give those who serve here regularly a round of applause of gratitude with me this morning? And then you guys can sit down as well. Paul's not talking just about keeping programs at a church going. We're not naive. Like, I'm not trying to say, hey, the full expression of Ephesians 4 is you serving in our kids ministry. I want to say that because we need more volunteers. But that's not the full expression of you living in the unity of the body and building one another up in love, okay? That's just some of the practical things we're doing here. What I want you to see more clearly is I actually believe everyone in here who calls Summit Church home, who belongs to the greater body of Christ because you belong to Christ by faith. So if you're here and you say, hey, I would identify as a Christian, I would call myself a Christian, God has reconciled me to himself through Jesus Christ, I want to follow Jesus Christ, I'm a part of the body of Christ by faith, then I want you to know explicitly this morning that I think one of the things Paul's saying is you are an essential part of the body. You are a part of the body God designed to use for the building up of his church in Christ Jesus. And God graciously, through Paul, would say to you and to me, it's okay to not know where that piece of the puzzle fits. It's okay to know or to acknowledge, hey, I don't know if I'm an ear or a finger or an arm or an elbow or a knee or some tendon or some bone. I don't know who I am. I don't know how God's gifted me. I don't know how to serve the body. That's all okay to acknowledge. But Paul does give a sense, an expression to us that it's not actually normative. It's not actually okay to say, I've got nothing to give and I've got nothing to do. There really isn't a category for an only, let me say it a more positive way. There really isn't a category for a non-participating, actively participating member of the body. There isn't one. There is not a category for a passive participant in the body of Christ, who only receives the ministry of the body, but does not actively participate in the ministry of the body. So Paul's invitation is to grab a hold of something beautiful and profound that he is saying that God accomplished. You and I cannot create unity in the body, and we cannot by ourselves make the body grow. It's impossible. But Paul says God is up to something, God is doing something that we get to actively participate in, and our maturity in that, our growing up in that, is actually a demonstration of the fullness of the unity that he wants to show to the world. And our immaturity in that actually breeds a disunity. It actually leads towards something that feels like it's not active, it's not a part of the body. And so I want us to see what Paul's saying. This is where Paul picks up where we left off in verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us. Just read that again because I don't want you to misunderstand anything. Paul's not saying grace was given to some of us. Grace was given to a few of you. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So we just fly on by that one, right? We'll get there, I promise. But and then he says this, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Whew. I want to start by just saying yet again, Paul is accenting something here that is not ultimately about you and I mustering up the courage or the strength or the ability to figure out how to do this, like to white knuckle it until we can say, all right, we finally did it. He's actually inviting you to embrace something that he says is already yours to enjoy. Now that takes work. It actually takes active participation to enjoy it, but it's already there. So that's why it's tragic when it's absent. That's why it's tragic when we don't see the evidences of it, is because Paul's saying you and I at times settle for something far less than what we've actually been given. In a sense, Paul would say you and I settle for achy bones and muscles like old people when you've been given a new body in Christ. I don't know if you know what it feels like to get old. I am learning what it feels like to get old. And it is not fun. And I've thought about it multiple times, talked about it with friends. You know, it's like everybody worries about 30 because things start to change at 30. You start to not, like, I think in your 30s, you just don't recover as fast as you do in your 20s. Like 20s, you feel invincible. Most of you in your 20s are like, psh, it's marathon on Tuesday, it's Sunday. Sure, why not? I'll run a marathon. And you just go run a marathon, some of you. That's just how you're wired. Like you just do it, and then your body's like, sure, we can do this. When you get to your 30s, you still try to do those things, but the recovery is you thought you would be fine by the next morning. And you're like, why did it take 4 days to feel like a normal human again? And that's kind of your 30s. And then 40, your brain says, sure, we can do this. Your body's like, whoa, 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 who do you think you are? And then your brain is like, well, no, we can really do it. Let's plan for that marathon. And your body's like, no, you just woke up with a pulled hamstring and all you did was sleep. Like, so you probably shouldn't run a marathon. And then your 50s goes, look at all those foolish people. Look at all those foolish people behind us trying to do these things. I know who I am. I'm happy. I ain't running no marathon. There's a bike out there. Even better, there's a car out there. And then you get in your 60s and 70s, you're like, I ain't going anywhere. Forget it. I don't need a car or a bike. I'm just hanging out. Listen, I'm just kidding. Lisa's crazy active. She's going to yell at me. She's like, you're 60, you can run a marathon. Lisa Adams will get you going. That's fine. But there's something about what we know in the sense of there is something more beautiful that we've been given that sometimes we fail to actually live into. And that's a little bit of Paul's picture, and there's a whole lot there with this picture. But what you start to see in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4 is that there is a unity of one body that is the church. Let's just start there. There is one body of Christ, the church. Now, Josh alluded to this last week, that there are all kinds of small expressions of that everywhere, and sometimes that's not as beautiful as we wish it were, and sometimes it's glorious, right? So it's got this tension where there are people who belong to Christ all over the world. That's beautiful. There are people who belong to Christ in smaller versions and pockets and denominations and churches all over the world, and sometimes they fight with each other, and he's like, well, that's not that beautiful, right? And so he's trying to call your attention, one body of believers who belong to Christ Jesus. And here's the beauty. You did not achieve that unity. It came through Christ and his Spirit to you. So you and I are not achieving unity. We are stewards of the unity given to us by Christ Jesus. And on the heels of that reality, Paul says this, there was grace by God given to all of you through the Spirit that you would have gifts that would actually steward that unity as a body together well. God gave the church everything she needs to be unified as one body under Christ well. So when it's not going well, it's not because we don't have what we need. And when it's not going well, it's not because God didn't give us all the pieces of the puzzle. So Paul says, hey, you were all given a gift, each one of you, according to the measure of Christ. That means you actually have an essential and vital role to play in the life of the body. Now, I would acknowledge that I believe some of you are here and you struggle with that idea. You struggle to believe and to actually embrace that God has gifted you to play an essential role in the life of the body locally and in Christ's complete body around the world. You think to yourself, well, not me. I can't do this and I can't do this and I can't do that. And there's a tendency to kind of run down the list of how you're not gifted. And Paul's invitation is, hey, can you just stop for a second and see God made one body in Christ Jesus. That body is unified under the headship of Christ Jesus, and you actively have a role in that body, maintaining that unity and becoming mature in that unity in Christ Jesus. You do, all of you. No excuses, nobody left out. And then he says, then he goes into verses 8 through 10. Which there needs to be, at some point in time, more time to kind of live here. But can we just live here in this way? In verses 8 through 10, Paul is quoting Psalm 68, verse 18. And Psalm 68 is a victory psalm. It's like a song of the people of God that they would sing when their king would come back from battle, having conquered an enemy, and returns with the spoils of possessions and gifts and wealth and war. That was kind of the victory song idea of Psalm 68. But he also returns with people who now belong to them. And this weird picture of a conquering king returning to Jerusalem. And they ascend to the temple where the king disperses all the wealth and the gifts to the people. And Paul picks up on that imagery and he reminds us of simply this. The length to which Christ went to secure the victory and the unity that is ours in him. Think of it this way. Christ went to the greatest lengths to secure our redemption, to secure our unity as one body. He went to the greatest lengths, paid the highest price to ensure that every one of us would be divinely enabled by the Spirit to protect, support, encourage, and mature his body in the righteousness that he has given us to demonstrate the fullness of the unity that he achieved for us. And I think that is the piece that Paul is calling on. Like, don't miss the depths and the lengths by which Christ brought this to reality. See, because for most of us, we go, yeah, the church is supposed to be unified. The church is unified. Jesus got what he wanted. Yes, he did. But Paul's invitation is, do you remember what lengths and depths and cost it came from? Don't just gloss over this moment where there's this kind of pithy reminder, we are one in Christ, and the whole church says, amen, hallelujah. And you say, we are to grow up in the righteousness of Christ. That's the aim of our unity. And it is, amen and hallelujah. But then Paul's saying, why, oh, why then would you come to such unity and come to such an invitation with such passivity? Christ defeated the rulers and authorities and the principalities of the evil world. Christ defeated sin and death and the enemy and hell. He was victorious. That is your song. And so then he says, you know what that song looks like? All of you with your diverse gifts, all of you in your diversity of backgrounds and stories and life experiences, all of you who have 1,000 reasons to be different have been made one in Christ Jesus at great cost to God. And you've all been gifted to actually protect that gift of unity and to grow up in the victory of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 say this, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, the tendons and the muscles and the bones and the ears and the fingers and the knees and the elbows, all of us, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All of Christ's people maturing in his righteousness and equipped for his purposes in the world where God has sovereignly placed us. The whole body is a part of the ministry. The whole body is a part of the building up. The whole body is submitting to Christ's rule and reign and needing one another. I need you. You need me. We need us. And God gave to his church a gift of leadership with diverse giftedness. So Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that there's one gift, and that singular gift is also plural and diverse and unified. So he says apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and shepherds and teachers. You see those in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And let me just say this about that. If you think about apostles and prophets, that we do not believe that office exists at Summit. There's not currently apostles and prophets who hold this office on behalf of God that was given to the gift of the church. But we do like to think about that in terms of the function they served. And does that still play a role in how God designed leadership within his church to equip the church to do the work of the ministry, building one another up in the full maturity in Christ and growing up with one another in love? And I believe the answer is yes. And so if you think about those terms as functions, not offices or titles or even particular giftings, you can think of the function that the apostles had was that they were spreading the truth and expanding the knowledge of the good news of the gospel into every place where God would allow them to do so. If you think of the prophets, you could think of the sense that they were calling people to recognize the urgency of the truth and then walk in obedience to that. So the evangelists or the apostles were spreading and extending God's truth into every region where God would make such a thing possible. The prophets were calling people to respond to the urgency of what God had said and walk in obedience to it. And the evangelists were calling people to respond to the truth to actually respond to the good news of the gospel. All of us participate in evangelism. Some are gifted evangelists that God, in his providence, has made it in such a way that when they call for a response, people respond. Like, the Spirit moves. You see the evidence of the Spirit at work in those who are gifted in such a way, and they call for that response. And I think you could think of pastors or shepherds who nurture the truth in others. They come alongside of people and say, no, this is the truth God wants to bring to life in you, and he will do it. And the teachers explain the truth in a way that you and I continue to actually see the illumination by the Spirit of God's word in ways that we understand and can apply to our lives. And so you see some of the gifting there. Which of these do we want to live without? And so our desire is, God, would you bring leadership to the body of Summit that reflects the functions that we see here? I'll just give you one example. We don't have on our current staff team or elder team someone who we believe is actually gifted by the Spirit in evangelism. We all participate in evangelism. We all have to share the gospel. We all share the good news of Jesus everywhere we go. But we don't have someone that we would recognize by the kind of wake of their life. Wow, the Spirit is on this person that when they call people to respond to the good news of the gospel, it is evident that the Spirit is doing something here, tangible and in a noteworthy way. But we know someone who's like that. I have a friend. He actually is one of the guys I alluded to earlier. He moved to Iowa from Buffalo, New York, and he's planting a church, several churches in the all throughout a region in Iowa. And his name is Jim Murphy, and Jim's an evangelist. In the wake of Jim's life are countless people who have responded to the gospel when he calls for them to understand what they've heard and respond. And it's just, there's nothing presumptuous about him. It's just everywhere he goes, people are saying yes to the gospel. And he acknowledges, I don't know what to tell you, except it seems as though the Spirit is going before me. And when I make the call to respond to the gospel, people are responding. And there is a beauty to that that I've seen and witnessed. So guess what? Summit has borrowed the gifting of Jim's function in the church to say, help us think well about how to equip and train our people to continue to proclaim the gospel. I don't think the gifting or the function of this leadership has to live just in one place. I actually think you can borrow some of that. And we get a chance to practice that in very real sense. Even now, many of you know Jason Malone. I think Jason has apostolic functions. He thinks about how the gospel and the good news will extend into new places. He no longer works at Summit. Guess what? We're still having conversations with him regularly about just that. Help us think about how the gospel keeps extending from us. That's sharing the leadership that God has given to his church that is not restricted to the four walls of one local place. But it goes way beyond that. So I think what I want you to see is, I believe God's given a gift of leadership to the church to help equip the church, but the church then is made up of people gifted in every way necessary for the body to actually mature, and the body actively participates in the work of the ministry of maturity. That's not just leadership. It's not just my responsibility. Here's my confession to you this morning. When all those people stood up, what I should have said, and I plan to say it now, so this was the plan all along when I say I should have said. When they were standing, what I should have said and plan to say to you now is, I believe, trying to think of the exact date, but it was the middle of July. It was the middle of July when God in his kindness, in a very real way, said, hey, why are you not using the people that I have given to the bride locally at Summit Cherrydale to do the work of the ministry and trying to do it all yourself? Now, one of the gracious ways he said that was me sitting across the table from a friend and acknowledging, I'm not okay. I am burnt out. I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid that people are going to think it's just because Jason left. I'm just being honest with you right now. But the fact of the matter is, I was practicing spiritual disciplines. Like, I was in the Word, and I was still trying to create space to hear from the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and it felt stale, and I would go away. I went away for a couple weeks, and it was so refreshing. And then I got back, and like the day I got back, it was like it was gone, and I couldn't figure that out. And so I was saying all this to a friend of mine across the table, and man, I was a mess, and he graciously just listened to me and then gave me some space to think about what God was up to in my heart, and then Kip put his arm around me and said, hey, it's time for you to guard your calendar a little bit. Like, you have to take control of the stuff you're saying yes to. Just try to say yes to everything. Like, I'm going to fix it. You can ask Jamie, I have this problem. Like, you got a problem in your life? I'll fix it. I can't fix it. I can't fix what's wrong in your circumstances or world. I can't. And I knew that all along. But somewhere I felt bound that I had to meet every time you wanted to meet, every time you asked to talk. I had to do it. I had to be available, or I wasn't being faithful as a shepherd. And I forgot something. That wasn't my job. And I left, and the guy who I was talking to, which is one of our elders as well, said, you need to call someone. You just need to talk to somebody outside of Summit. Man, I did not plan on going here. So I called a friend down in Florida. He's an elder at a church, at a partner church down in Florida. He's 60 years old, friend of mine. I've been trying, you can ask a few people, I've been praying for someone in my life, older, 15, 20 years older than me, that can just be outside of Summit. It's not, I don't want to be home blind. Like, take me, somebody who can look in and tell me other things. I don't even want to talk about Summit all the time. Like, I want somebody to ask me how my soul's doing, how my marriage is doing, you know, how I'm doing walking with Jesus, not how the church is doing. So I do care, just so you know. And so I called a guy, his name is Jim Hines. And I will never forget. He picked up. Jim's busy, like he's got, I'll never forget that he just picked up the phone. That's what I'll remember. And I'll never forget that I did this a lot on that phone call. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't say anything. He didn't try to fix it. He just listened. He listened for a really long time to this. Like, which is hard to do on the phone. You ever try to listen to somebody cry on the phone? It's very awkward. And at the right time, just at the right time, in God's kindness, he said, hey, can I say something? He said, I don't know what God wants to do. I don't know how he's going to fix it, but I believe he's going to fix it. And I want you to know something. I'm a safe place for you to talk. I think you're that for people in this room. I think you're the person that some people in this room need to be able to call. I think you're the people in this room that some people need to have their minds and hearts attentive to who God is and what God's doing. And it doesn't need to come from me. I think Paul's saying that some of you are gifted to put your arm around people when they're hurting. Some of you are gifted to take the call. Some of you are gifted to go visit with them. Some of you are gifted to tell them that God's going to do it. Some of you are gifted to actually sit there and listen when they're crying. Not because I don't want to. Not even close. I still don't have it figured out, to be honest with you. Like, I looked at like the next 2 weeks and had to go, oh, this, here we go again. Getting out of whack. Calendar. My email, can I just say, if you've written me in the last year, I'm about to send out an email that just says, it's not you, it's me. Can we all start over? That's how bad it's been, you know? I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you the truth. I think God wants to shake up what we think needs to happen here every Sunday. I do. I don't think it needs to just be we get comfortable coming in and sitting down here and receiving a bunch of stuff. But I think we participate, and you do well, by the way. I've had multiple pastors from other Summit congregations show up, teach here, walk away and say, y'all got something good going on with participation in the body. Like, I'm grateful for that. But I'm saying, I think there's more that God wants to continue to show us about what it would look like to live as the church, even when we gather. And we don't have to be restricted to 25, 45 minutes of a message and three songs and prayers and moving pieces in a service. And so I hope that that's what you've started to see in the last few weeks, and I hope it's what you see more of, that we are going to say, God, we want to be attentive to who you are and what you're doing. We will preach the word, and we will sing the word, and we will declare things that are true back to him, but we're also going to love one another and pray for one another and put our arms around one another and move toward one another and challenge one another and live out there intentionally with one another and fight for unity because it's already ours. I don't want to keep moving along in the wheel that just says, it's okay for the bride to have all of her various distinctions and call them out. Yes, of course, fight for things that matter, but we are one in Christ, one body, given to us through the Spirit, all the gifts to maintain the unity of that body and to be built up in Christ. And so if there's a lack of unity, there's a lack of maturity. And whose responsibility is the maturity? It is God's through you, not me. I'm with you. I have no higher seat. I'm with you. Yes, I've been called to leadership with the church. What for? To equip the body to do the work of the ministry, to build each other up in maturity so that you may obtain the unity that is yours in Christ and walk in it. So I'm doing it with you. That means we need all of you. Sorry, guest, what a morning you stepped into. But if you hang out here, we need you. If God brings you here to belong to us, then guess what? That means God knew we needed you. I know life's busy. Trust me. I know that you and I have to prioritize things that matter. I am taking basically your whole final set away. I'm sorry, but we'll do it second service. I'll be so much shorter. I want like an unhurried, attentive to God, enjoying Christ, walking in obedience kind of life. I want that. Now, a little danger in there for some of us. Saw a pastor who mentioned this not too long ago, who said, I want everyone to want and to enjoy and to experience the unhurried life of, he mentioned a specific pastor, Eugene Peterson. I'm a little bent that way. So I want everyone to have the unhurried life of Eugene Peterson. I just want to make sure they also have his work ethic underneath it, meaning the unhurried life is not your excuse to do nothing in the kingdom. The unhurried life is your excuse to do everything God built you to do in the kingdom. That makes sense? So the unhurried life is not just days off. The unhurried life is being attentive to what God's up to so that you might walk in the unity that is yours in Christ Jesus, gifted by the Spirit to build up the body in love for full maturity in the righteousness of Christ so that the world may know God has done something miraculous here. He brought the many to one. He made them actually one. He built them together as one in Christ, and they are living like one, even when they go everywhere dispersed. So I'm going to try to start actually leaning on the giftedness of this body. That's why Lisa's running. I don't even know what Lisa's doing. Like, she's creating things for new people I don't even know about. And I'll just show up to and smile. And Paul's leading gatherings with our life group leaders to try to train our life group leaders to think well about how to have gospel-centered conversations around the text of Scripture, but also press it into life. Cam's praying about planting a church in Nicholtown where God has sovereignly placed he and Joy for the last how many years now? Eight. Charlie and Jen are praying about having a bunch of young couples start coming over to their house. This is great, right? You're going to have 20 after today. Sorry about that. About having young couples, newly married perhaps, or even some singles, coming over to their house on a regular basis to just say, watch us do life. You know what kind of invitation that is? That is an invitation for you to actually say, I want to live in this way so that you can actually watch me do life. Some of you are called to be small group leaders at Summit Cherrydale. You don't know it yet, but we'll remind you. And we'll invite you to it sooner than later. Some of you probably shouldn't work in Summit Kids. That's fine. Some more of you should. So a balance there, right? Some of you definitely should not. We'll get lawsuits if you work in Summit Kids. You're like crazy people. Get in line. No. Some of you should be door greeters. Some of you should not until you figure out how to smile all the time. And then some of you can lead worship. Some of you cannot. But you can lead back there. Some of you can just have your eyes open on Sunday in this room before a service. You can actually show up earlier, stick around late, and you can just move toward people who the Spirit says, hey, just go ask them. Ask them how they're doing and what God's doing. Some of you can meet financial needs well beyond your own, and some of you cannot. Some of you have financial needs that need to be met. And for all of it, Christ says, I gave you you. And I gave you my Spirit, and I gave you unity. So our invitation today is, will you go with us in living into that? Father God, we love you because you first loved us. Oh, how kind and gracious you are to give us everything we need to grow up into Christ Jesus in full maturity, to experience the unity that is ours in him, to be changed and transformed from the inside out, to put off old selfish desires, and through confession and repentance to grow up into new and righteous desires that belong to us because of Christ, to serve one another, to love one another, to prefer one another, to forgive one another, to bear with one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to give to one another, to strengthen to one another, to correct one another, so that we can love you, love one another, love our neighbor, and love our enemies. Until we see you face to face. And the completion of the newness of this body that belongs to Christ will be standing with Christ whole. And you'll do it. So let us be active participants and not passive for your glory, for your kingdom, with one another. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. We're thankful for you. And we're praying God's blessing over you as you go. Next week we'll sing some more. And next week, guess what? We'll be back here by God's sheer grace, and we'll still need one another. So as you go, go with him. The gospel goes in you. And go love one another for the sake of those he's placed around you. We pray in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.